Well, Len, it's been exciting times lately, at least here in Illinois and Indiana, I guess I should include, because for three straight weeks, I've been back covering golf tournaments, and it's been amazing, especially after yesterday's finish at the Illinois Open at White Eagle Golf Club.
Yeah, and you're not alone. I'm off on the road for our first really long golf travel destination tour of the year. We're right now in just outside Greenville, South Carolina. We played just a beautiful course called Bald Mountain in Lake Lure, North Carolina yesterday, and we're going to be on the road at least two more weeks hitting some travel destinations in Georgia and again in Ohio and then in Michigan. So it's a lot of fun, a lot of golf enthusiasm out there from what I'm seeing.
Down south, some of the publicity in the last week was about the storm that I think initially was considered a hurricane, and then it may have gotten downgraded. But did the weather from that storm do much of any damage golf course-wise up and down the coast that you've heard?
No, you know, I tell you, it was a strange storm. It was a hurricane. It hit the U.S. in Florida close to where we live, and it dropped down to a tropical storm, and then it became a hurricane again. But the day we left on our trip and went up through North Carolina and back into the eastern states. But I haven't heard. It really was staying right along the water, so I don't know that any golf courses were hit, other than this little nine holer by my daughter's house, which is right on Wilmington, North Carolina, and she said there was a lot of debris to pick up around there. But where we played, we got wet. I mean, it rained hard each of the last 2 days, but we did get our round in yesterday before the storm hit, and it looks pretty nice and sunny today, so we're going to play again.
It was a pretty exciting last 3 days at the White Eagle Golf Club in Naperville, and it's just amazing the way the club and its membership and even maybe some people who have homes around the golf course that may not even be members, a lot of people came out to really support these players in the Illinois Open. And there was people on their patios and in their backyards. The membership had a tent on 17 through a sponsor. They had a bar out there. There was a lot of members up around the clubhouse. And, you know, things were done in a safe manner, but it was nice to see what I'm going to call a larger than normal gallery for the Illinois Open.
Well, I tell you, that's impressive because, you know, White Eagle got behind an LPGA event really, really well. But I bet you it's 20 years ago now and right when the club opened. So I know the enthusiasm is there. And of course, the course has been remodeled since those good old days. But, you know, it's funny, social distancing, it seems to be the one sport. Golf is one place where it can be practiced pretty well, but the spectator golf, I saw some pictures from the Illinois Open, and it looked like everything was in order, but it was really good to see the enthusiasm out there for the state's players. That's really a good tournament. It's got its own following that's gone on 71 years now, and it looks like you had a real good week there.
Well, the golf course got nothing but rave reviews. The greens were in absolutely mint condition. I'm told the superintendent had them up around 13 on the stimp meter. Curtis Malm, the director of golf there, said how they turned off the mowers that cut the rough for about 8 or 9 days in advance of the tournament, and it was up close to around 4 inches. But it was a championship venue, several players told me, that played like a championship venue. It wasn't tuned down a little bit, just thinking that, well, hey, a lot of guys haven't played competitive rounds this year because of the pandemic. They tuned it up and probably gave the Illinois Open field the toughest test of golf that they've seen in that championship in years. And, you know, it wasn't done just to say, hey, we don't want people breaking par. We don't want the winner to come in at 14 under. It was just done to make a championship venue play more like a championship venue. And Brad Slocum, the tournament director, he tucked those pins. And, you know, all the pins that were out there, more often than not, they were off in the corners of the greens. They weren't on the humps and ridges, so to speak, in some of the greens, but they weren't far from them. So there was times where if you're putting from the wrong tier of the green and you roll that ball up, it might get within 6 or 7 feet of the cup. And if you didn't hit it hard enough, it might roll all the way back down to you. But while the players questioned some of the pin placements, at least some of them did, some of them just said they were just the hardest pin placements they've seen at an Illinois Open, maybe ever. They did really compliment White Eagle for the overall condition of the golf course, which they said, you know, we're sure a lot of people have been out here golfing since the, you know, the courses were allowed to reopen, but it was really in good condition for the tournament.
Well, it must have been, because there were some great scores there. I mean, Brendan Mounts and the champion, Bryce Emery, I mean, they put some low numbers up there. So it speaks well for the players who did well there. I was wondering about how White Eagle would hold up as the toughest venue. When I look back a while, and I can remember some very tough setups in the years when it was held at Royal Box, but I can't remember how the scoring went back then. But they had some. Marty Sheen had some good rounds in winning in some tournaments over there. And I thought that course was a very tough Illinois Open site for a while. So yeah, it sounds like the good players had to play very good to finish high in that Illinois Open, and that's great. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Well, some of the players that, you know, I thought would maybe be right in the middle of contention struggled a little bit. And Mike Small, the University of Illinois golf coach, made a great comeback early in round one. You look on the scoreboard and he's down in, 78th place. And, you know, all of a sudden, you look yesterday, and all he needed was a birdie finish for, fourth place, or an eagle on the par 5 17th or something like that. And if he'd have made two shots to par in the last two holes, he'd have been in third place. So, you know, he's been, I think, like a lot of coaches out there at, at the college level. They're all trying to learn and adapt on how to recruit. You know, you can talk to players on the phone. You can talk to their high school coaches. You can talk to any pros that maybe some of these younger players have been working with at their own club. But you can't really get out and see them play, you know, unless somebody sends you a video. And as Mike said, you know, it can be difficult trying to recruit Division I athletes by looking at your computer screen.
Well, yeah, I can understand the coaching aspect of Mike's the dilemma he's facing there now. All the college coaches, Pat Goss and the gang at Northwestern as well. The thing about Mike as a player, though, you know, you never can count him out. He's won 51 now, I think. He's past the 50 stage. He's played some Champions Tour events, and he's certainly not been a regular, but he gets on that Champions Tour a lot and makes money there. So the guy can still play. I mean, he's playing against some of these guys are might be around half his age, and he's still competitive. That's great to see.
Well, what was interesting on day one, I'm not sure that he actually beat any of his current or former players that were in the field. But mm-hmm. by the time the tournament was done yesterday, he had beat all of them. So quite a change. Maybe that was some of the motivation there. Had a chance to talk to him after the tournament. And, you know, the Big Ten announced that they're going to play football yesterday, but they've shortened the schedule, two games, and you're only going to play conference teams. And of course, the Illinois golf program, you know, you look at where they've been in recent years, and what happens is, you know, they go out to Cypress Point, in California, and they're playing there, and then they're down in Georgia at Eastlake, and they're at Florida at, you know, one of the top courses, and then they're at Olympia Fields, and schools are coming from all over the country to do that. So you'd look at their schedule, where they play, they seldomly just play in Illinois, other than their own invitational, and play a lot of matches against other Big Ten schools. And so Mike did tell me that, you know, all of the Big Ten coaches have been in touch with one another. And I think they're all trying to figure out what to do is, you know, if the NCAA says, well, this fall, you know, you can't take your team and fly to Florida or Texas or Arizona or somewhere. And if all the Big Ten schools just have to sort of stay in a little bit of a, we're going to call it a Midwest bubble, and you know, maybe Illinois will get on the bus and drive up and just play Wisconsin one day. And or maybe Wisconsin and Indiana and Purdue and Illinois will get together and have a match somewhere at one of the courses at the school. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, I talked to Mike and about the donation the University of Illinois got with the Adkins, now going to be named Adkins Golf Facility down there by the school. And Mike said there's going to be a lot of work to be done on that golf course. And I think it currently plays around 7,200 yards. And I asked him, I said, could you ever do an invitational down on that golf course? And he said, well, right now we're in love with Olympia Fields. But he wouldn't rule that out of the question, that there could be a University of Illinois invitational down the road once the golf course gets the changes that they're going to bring to that facility get done. And he's talking about, he says, yeah, we got to get that course lengthened up over 7,500 yards and things like that. He said, you know, these young kids, they hit it far. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And also, if at some point down the road when the Adkins facility is fully upgraded to Coach Small and I'm sure also Coach Renee Sloan will get together and put this facility where they want it, if the University of Illinois will host an invitational right down there in Champaign-Urbana.
On I think a positive note, it could be a good chance to elevate the Big Ten match play tournament, which has always been in the schedule on the fall season, but it's an awkward one. Illinois had to bypass its own conference match play tournament at least a couple of times when it got invites to East Lake and stuff like that. So this particular year, if they change the travel put on travel restrictions on the teams, that event could be. I don't know where it's at this year or what usually they play it in a warmer weather climate, but that could well be a highlight of the fall season and a good one for the Big Ten.
The other thing is, though, in talking to a lot of people yesterday, listening to Kerry Williams, Illinois PGA Executive Director's post-championship speech, it sounds like a lot of people really liked how the Illinois Open played out at White Eagle. The membership was involved. They were active. One of the members has a security company, and he brought in TVs and cameras and used them to set up video action, visible action, on seven different holes. So they had TV screens out at the members' tent and up on the patio by the clubhouse, and you could watch play going on TV screens on seven different holes at once. It was a well-done video operation. And, you know, overall, with everything they worked through to get the club ready in a safe manner to play the championship, I guess not only the cleaning staff, but the there was members and different people who came in to help out and just totally sanitized the whole clubhouse and the facilities on Sunday before the players arrived in full to start teeing it up on Monday.
Hats off to White Eagle. That's exactly what things like that are exactly what the Illinois Open needs. You know, the Illinois Open, the one thing the pro tour guys would say is, well, you win the Illinois Open, that doesn't get you into anything after that. That's too bad that it doesn't, but it you know, it keeps some of the really top players, the Nick Hardys, the Vince Indias, you know, once they've won that tournament, well, Nick hasn't won it, actually. They get onto a pro tour, and their allegiance must be to that pro tour. But the Illinois Open has always, you know, 71 years, that means something. So I wish that that kind of attention would be given to something like maybe the Radix Cup. That's a great team event that hasn't really consistently received the attention I think it could get. So I'm looking for it. If White Eagle can do that, and I think next year I thought that was a great pairing. Nothing against the Glen Club, which has hosted the tournament so many times, But I thought pairing it up with Stonebridge, I thought that made a very interesting possibility for the two-course setup for the final, which has been used in recent years. And I hope they give that a try again. I think those are two good courses that fit together for a championship final in the Illinois Open.
Well, I think this setup and a joint setup with Stonebridge will be back. I saw some people from Stonebridge out there, and they would like to think that because they had to be dropped this year, that the next time this setup is brought back, I think they would like to play the lead course and let White Eagle the next time around be the second course. And then perhaps if they do it a third time, then White Eagle could be the lead course again. So there could be some bounce back there in years to come. And I don't know where the Illinois PGA could go next year with the Illinois Open, where they'd really have any more enthusiasm and support than they had this year. So that was really great to see. Of course, in just a couple weeks, we'll have the Illinois PGA Section Championship, and it's always great when it's at Medina. It won't be on course 3, it'll be on course number 1, but I think a lot of the players are looking forward to getting out there and playing it. Travis Johns, Medina Pro, is the defending champion. I know this past week, a win at the Illinois Open would have given him the career Grand Slam. And while he made the cut, he was not able to be among the leaders on the leaderboard. He had a couple of late birdies yesterday in the closing holes. But unfortunately for Travis, really too little, too late.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with the number one course of Medina, especially since the redo by Tom Doak a few years ago. But I tell you, it sure gives Travis a big jump on the field, I think, when the section brings all of its best players to that course for the section championship like they do every third year. Travis is still, I think, probably the best player in the section. My money would be on him to repeat as player of the year. The next championship, it's not that far after the Illinois Open. I think only a 3-week gap. They play again. The top section pros get together, and that'll be a fun one. It's always a fun tournament going on. But I agree with you. I think Medina number one is a premier site for it.
And speaking of PGA, we've got a PGA starting today out in California, and the weather out there has been a little windy and a little cool, and I know a couple of players opted out with travel or coronavirus concerns. It'll be interesting to see what shakes down in what's now the first major of the year.
I tell you, moving it to Harding Park. Harding Park has got a rich history but hasn't been on the tournament scene for a long time. It's a public course out there. It's been rumored to be getting big tournaments for a while, and now this is the chance to show what it's got. You know, I think it will. Everybody, of course, you know, you talk about Tiger Woods. He hasn't done anything all year but played one tournament. Will he do any good here? Will Brooks Koepka, going for 3 in a row? He hasn't been doing much this season so far, until last week, till this last tournament. Will he be a factor? It's the PGA has always been I've always felt it has the best field of all the majors, because just by the virtue of the way it's put together. The Masters field is small. The British field is overloaded with foreign players from Europe. And the U.S. Open has lots of amateurs who get in through qualifying. Nothing wrong with any of that. But the PGA is consistently, year in and year out, I think, the strongest of the four majors. And so I always like to follow it closely. I think that may be my favorite major.
This week on Golfers on Golf Radio, we are looking forward to having Vice President of Marketing John Claffey join us in the studio to fill in for our ailing partner, Ed Stevenson, who's still fighting a shoulder problem from taking a spill while out jogging. John is working on landing us one of the Tour Edge players to join us live on the air. So if you're hearing the podcast, make sure you catch Golfers on Golf Radio this Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Chicago time on AM820 WCPT. And we're going to talk about Tour Edge and how they've really been emerging as a major golf company in recent years, and also really having a significant impact their products with players on the PGA Champions Tour.
And, you know, going for the Champions Tour was really a smart idea for Tour Edge, and they got good. good one. Scott McCarron has been one of the very best players on that circuit ever since he hooked up with Tour Edge. And Tom Lehman is, of course, a great name who can still play. He did well on the PGA Tour in a tournament earlier this season. So Tour Edge has really come on strong, and it's been around a long time, always respected. But getting involved on the pro level, I think, has taken that company to a new level.
We'll talk about another level of golf next week when we return for podcast show number 22. And you'll have to tell us where your travels have taken you by then.
It'll be fun.